Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Rachel Abdi.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Who's enjoying Romans, the series? I love doing series. They're so exciting. It's so great to see week on week build and different topics kind of go from one to the next. And I hope you've read ahead in Romans and know what's coming up. So Romans, the gospel for all this morning, I'm sharing the gospel that transforms. We're going to talk all about the transformative power that is the gospel. So we're going to share a few different scriptures from Romans chapters 6, 7 and 8. And I'm going to share a few thoughts around those this morning. And I pray that this morning is transformative for you. Maybe in this very moment this morning it will be. If not, it will be tomorrow, the next day and for the next decade. It's a powerful book, Romans. I've loved reading it. I was chatting to a friend last week. She said, there's just so many words in Romans. Like, there is. It's like Paul says everything in a very long-winded way through Romans. But there's such powerful truths in there. It's like really reiterates and drives home some very powerful points all through the book of Romans. The, you know, little Google AI summary of Romans tells me that it's a theological masterpiece, Romans, and I agree with that. And for me, I've found Romans really grounding. Like, I feel like Romans is a book you can pick up and come back to when you feel like you really need your basic understanding of Christianity and the spiritual truth we now live in reminded. If you feel like you need reminding of who we are, whose we are, and what Christianity is about, I feel like Romans really does that. It pulls you back to the center. It's like if you walk outside on grass with bare feet, that really sense of, oh, getting out of the clouds and this is who I am and this is who I belong to. We're all God's children, hey, and we're all learning how to be heirs of Christ and live a life of sonship. So I'm going to start reading from Romans 8. Thank you, Michael. We're going to read, I've got all NIV version translations this morning. We're going to start with Romans 8, 16. To 17. It says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order we may also share in his glory. We're actually transformed to heirs. We are God's children. And I want to talk to this point about that. That's our new spiritual reality. Like, Evan shared last week about the gospel that saves us, how it saves us, and we are now saved. Whereas this message is about that daily transformation, the life we now live as Christians, and how we live a life unto God to be holy and righteous, and like out of gratitude for who it is that Christ is and what he's done for us. But that spiritual reality takes our brains a long time to catch up. So we if you are a Christian here, that is the truth, but our lives then, we spend the next decades of our lives trying to line up our life with that new spiritual reality. So Paul is talking a lot in these chapters about his earthly life and his earthly experience and how he's trying to get that to line up with who he knows he is now, that he belongs to Christ. And I think a good analogy of this is getting married. You go from being a person who's single to a spouse. And that's a legal transaction, a covenant, a spiritual transaction, and it actually just happens like that. You suddenly one day aren't married, the next day you are married. But it can take a long time, like, for your brain to catch up. Like, if you're married here, do you remember, you know, if somebody, if you changed your name and someone called you by your maiden name and you answered, or you signed a signature, your maiden name, or I remember saying things like, I better just check with mum and dad. When I was married, it was actually, oh no, I probably need to check with my husband. Or I would say things like, I'm just going to go visit, I'm just going home. Like, oh no, not home. I'm going to see my mum and dad. I don't live at home now. My home is somewhere else. So I like that this is sort of what this message is about. It's kind of like that trying to line our new life up with the new spiritual reality that we now live in. So then, you go home, someone calls you by your maiden name and you answer, or you think home is where your parents are, but it's actually not now, it's your new house. So this day-by-day transformation, I think marriage is a great analogy of our heads not really quite understanding this new fundamental shift. And Paul speaks about the struggle we now have, lining up our earthly life with this new spiritual reality. In Romans 7:7, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" That cracks me up. I love that scripture. So I'm like, I would not have known what was bad except for the fact that the law existed and told me what was right and wrong. So I would not really know what coveting was except that the law said, "You shall not covet." Paul is like really understanding what the human experience is like and conveying here, I believe, to us that this transformation now happens for the rest of our lives. We are in this human world, in this human fallen world. We have human struggles. And I don't think Paul is immune to that. And I love that this feels, to me, like a really connecting thing. Like he's a real guy living a real life, having real struggles. In Romans 7, 15 to 19, I have to read this slow because this passage is difficult. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do." I already got it wrong. "And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know what good itself does, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good." Amen, don't we all? "But I cannot carry it out, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." So it's like a real tongue twister, that one. But did you understand it? It's one thing to read it, that's hard enough. And I think, what is he talking about? The sin I keep on doing, the things I don't want to do, I keep doing, the things I wish if I know I should do, that I just don't do. And I want to talk about sin in this context because the book of Romans talks a lot about sin, and there's lots of different, you know, there's biblical, you know, definitions of sin, but I actually really want to share, this passage is not talking about the sin that is, you know, that we came for salvation and now we're saved. This is how the struggle of our life now works, the sin that comes against us all the time as we try and live a holy Christian life. And I like that what the Bible Project says about sin. It says, "Many of us have used sin to measure ourselves against others. Am I better than that person? Am I doing okay? Am I a good person? Am I worthy of love, forgiveness, and acceptance?" Contrary to popular assumptions, when the biblical authors talk about sin, they're talking about something much deeper and more complex than regulatory lists of good and bad behaviours or good guys versus bad guys. They're talking about a corruption of God's good world that shows up in human relationships and choices. It's something that we do and it's something that happens to us. So this new reality that we try and wrap our heads around now as Christians and living a Christian life and Christian existence is the journey of lining up our earthly life with our new spiritual reality, where spiritual reality is we're free from sin, free from condemnation. We're actually heirs and we're sons and daughters of Christ. We are, in fact, a new creation. And I love that we are a new creation, whether you are a new Christian or a really old Christian. You are still a new creation. There is no, like, slightly used Christian or old, you know, worn out Christian. And the Bible tells us that we are all just new creations. And sin is part of the human experience of life, but it doesn't need to have a hold on us anymore. We're set free from it, and we're actually set free from the fruit of sin as well, which is death. We are free from all of that. In Romans 6, verse 1 to 4, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Like, how can we live in it any longer? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were also baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Romans 6, 8 to 11 says, "Now if we die with Christ, we believe we also live with him." Like, remember both sides. remember we died with Christ, we'll then live with Christ. But then let's also now live with Christ. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death has no longer any mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. In the same way you are dead to sin, in the same way you died with Christ, now live with him. Like, now go on and live. Don't stop there. Now continue this transformative process, the gospel that transforms us day by day. It's good news, this gospel that transforms. It transforms your life and my life. Sin has no pull and no authority anymore over our lives. I want to share an analogy that my Bible study had about this scripture, which really spoke volumes to me. And it's an analogy of a kite. And the difference with the study Bible, I want to read a bit of a commentary and then I want to give you a bit of a picture of a kite. The commentary is like a deep dive into scripture. So if you've got a study Bible, the study Bible gives you little helpful tips and summaries of like topics. It can give you maps and like answer some really difficult questions and give you a good little understanding of those things. A commentary is often written by a theologian and it's like a line-by-line, scripture-by-scripture deep dive analysis into really nitty-gritty stuff. And I want to share with you a bit of a commentary and also something from my study Bible. So we're going to read Romans 7:4. So my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who raised him from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. And I want to read to you the King James version of this. It's just beautiful. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. I want to read to you the commentary on this one verse. It says, because we've been baptized into Jesus' death, verse 4 makes this clear by saying that believers through faith in Jesus are dead to or separated from the law. Paul uses the word here, dead, so deliberate, because it's not just that it doesn't apply anymore. We are completely separated from it, from the law, from the death. We're like, it's just severed from us. We're separated from it, separated as much as death separates. And it goes on to say, Paul's using the word die in the phrase made to die to the law as we currently would use it, in the sense that die requires context to being what is separated from. For instance, we could say a relationship is dead, which would mean the two people have separated in their fellowship with one another. So Paul is using die here in the same way. Believers have been separated from the law through faith in Jesus, so that they might be joined to another, to him who raised him from the dead, Jesus. It's astoundingly powerful. So I love this book so much. This can change your life every day. If you come up to something, you're just like, cannot see the wood for the trees, the tree for wood, I'm not sure. But caught up, then this book is very grounding, like just brings you right back to where it is we live now and who it is that we belong to. So I want to share with you a picture of the kite. And I'll quickly just read one scripture, which I didn't have before, but it does sort of make sense, which is Romans 6:18. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. And I wanted to read that first because this is a really important picture about slavery in the most beautiful sense. So when sin is master, we die. And all of us either know this in our hearts or can think of people maybe in our lives who aren't slaves to Christ, but they're certainly slaves to something. Like it's not that if you're not a slave to Christ, you are just, I don't know, free. You're probably the opposite of free. We're all slaves to something in our life. And before we were Christian, you could say that we were probably slaves to sin, like I talked about before when Paul was saying, like, the good I want to do, I don't do, and the things I wish I should do, I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And He also shares in a scripture about what a wretched man I am. Like, what is going on? This mortal body I'm stuck with. So that frustration of who we are as human beings. But this picture here that Paul shares about the transformative power the gospel has in our life now to continue to transform us and set us free from those things. By grace, we can be slaves to God. And when God is master, we live. So the picture I want to share with you, which is really stuck in my heart, is the picture of a kite. And a kite is free to fly only when it's slave to the string. You cut the string, the kite's freedom to fly is severed too. Slavery to God frees us to fly and be what we're created to be. In fact, I think if you asked a kite, it would prefer to be on the string. It would probably choose the string. Because it can't be all it was designed to be without it. How amazing is that, a picture of our new life as we live a holy life and want to please our Father and share his love with others, that we maybe could live like a kite. Maybe that's helpful for a picture for someone this morning to feel like. If you find that you struggle with the terms of slavery or holiness and surrendering to Christ, kind of the Christian terms, I guess, that I have heard for a thing. If that grinds at you for many reasons, then maybe think of your life as a kite. And to be all you can be, to be who God's designed you to be, then you want to be on the string. You are a slave to the ultimate master, the one who created us and who created you for something greater. Then be the kite on the string so that you can fly free. We in fact do now belong to another. What once bound us no longer does. And like a kite, we need to be tethered in order to be free. The truth of the gospel that transforms us, we found the truth. And the truth is our identity is in Christ. So let our identity be in Christ. Let this gospel transform you. Because we don't do these things alone. We're never alone. You'll never be alone again. Like, we're never alone. As a Christian, you'll never be alone ever again. In Romans 8:23, it says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption into sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? It's yet to come. Our mortal bodies, this is all part of the journey. It's yet to come and we eagerly await for it. In the meantime, there's good news to share, like Pastor Andrew shared in the first week. In the meantime, we carry something to share. We carry bread to share. Things that we can share that would feed others who are starving, we have in our hand. So instead of holding it, then give it away, like pass it on. Share it with others because we have already been satisfied. We've already been satisfied, but we spend our lives trying to remember that in our head. Like I shared at the start, we have already been transformed, and now our lives we spend renewing our mind and transforming our thoughts and transforming our life in the natural to line up with this new spiritual reality. So for us, living a transformed life with the help of the Holy Spirit, we share what we have from a place of sonship and heirs with Christ. We are his children, in fact, to share that with others. And I will share a quick testimony for myself. It's a testimony and a bit of a repentance as well about something that happened to me that I didn't pass it on and share it, which was I was healed 3.5 weeks ago of depression, actually, I believe. And it happened in an instant. It happened in an instant. And I've never been healed of anything in my whole entire life as a Christian until this moment 3 weeks ago. But my heart, when it happened, was, I've been so grateful to God and I've been so thankful, but I've kept it to myself. Because one of my first thoughts was, well, others pray and don't get what they pray for. That all of this sort of just human stuff like went through my mind. I thought, what if other people are praying and not getting what they pray for? Also, it happened and nobody prayed for me. It just happened. I was sitting in life group. The wonderful Richard shared a scripture that wasn't directed at me. He just shared it, which I'll share it with you too because it's wonderful. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You make every thought obedient to Christ. And when he shared that, instantly I just thought, that is truth. I could recognize that straight away. I thought, that is spiritual reality. And I instantly felt just this cloud lift and all the usual physical symptoms of depression go. And the next day was the same. And I thought, this has actually happened. I've actually been healed. And I've told, now I've told lots of people. So thank you, Jesus. It can happen in an instant. Your life can transform. And now I've told like 100 people, so it's all in one shot. Let's read in Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You are not alone in this, and I'm not alone in this either. And the musos can come up, would be great, please. I want to share a prayer. I'm just going to pray with us all as I wrap up. But I just want to say as well in wrapping up that another picture that occurred to me in thinking about this whole few chapters about who we really are in Christ and how we can live day to day our transformed life, continue to transform. If you are a newer Christian here, then I think living a transformed life is maybe more obvious. That might be the right term, because I know as you... if you're a newer Christian, then remembering your life before Christ is probably easier. For me, having been a Christian for so long, it's tricky to remember what it was like without God, because he's been there all the time. So as a Christian, if you've been around a longer time, I want to challenge you this morning, which I feel like is entirely appropriate because you've been a Christian a long time. Are you still being transformed? Can you say that your faith and your actual life, not just I believe I'm loved and accepted by God, but what does your life look like? Is your life and your life lining up with your spiritual reality? Because transformation is there for us all every day. None of us have been transformed to whatever the end is yet. That's crazy. We all have lots of transformation yet that we need to do. So if you have been a Christian a long time, I do want to encourage you this morning. Do you feel stale or stuck? Do you feel like you know it all? I don't know, but I would encourage you to continue to be transformed, because you are in fact a new creation, and you want to continue to line up your natural life with your new spiritual reality. So when I think about this and what identity we now have as a Christian and an heir, we now have as a son, a daughter of Christ, an heir to a co-heir with Christ, it's crazy what we now live in. It made me think of toddlers playing with toys. And if you ever see... this doesn't happen often, I'll grant you, it's a bit of a fairy tale. If you ever see toddlers playing and one of them willingly gives another a toy, like, no worries, have my toy, I don't care. It doesn't probably happen once in my memory, I can think of my kids. It usually doesn't go this way, but for the picture, if you see that happen where a child willingly shares a toy with others, it speaks volumes to the child who shared, of their identity, their security, knowing that they can give away and more comes. They're not worried that more's not coming. They can just give the toy away. What do they care? So we know that as adults watching, that's actually true. But for the child to do that speaks volumes about how that child sees their identity, their safety and security is in the people around them. Don't we want to be that in Christ? So if you have that bread, hand it out. Pass it around. There's more coming. You're not going to be without. Give it away. It's so carelessly that you just know who you belong to anyway. What are you worried? The house is warm. You've got a bed. You've got food to eat. You have a father who loves you more than we can put into words. So don't hold on to that bread. Just give it away like you would if you saw a toddler do the same. Be astounded and impressed, thinking, wow, good work. Well done. Good for sharing. Yeah, let's do that too. Let's be those Christians that just give away what we have, knowing that there is more to come. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.